Gemara in the first paragraph of Psachim points out that there's a pasuk in this coming week's parsha, Parshas Balosa, Perek Tes, opens with Moshe Rabbeinu's Sivoy to Klal Yisrael about Karban Pesach. And the Torah tells us it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's almost a year since they left Mitzrayim. It's 10 months since they, maybe 11, I don't know if they shouldn't embarrass or not, almost a year minus 2 months since they arrived at Har Sinai, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Now it's almost a year later, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is Perek Tes by Midbar. Chodesh HaRishon, Moshe Rabbein begins to talk to Klal Yisrael about Karban Pesach. So the Gemara, the first paragraph of Psachim, points out that eight prakim earlier, Sefer Bamidbar had opened 2 weeks ago with Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Sefer Bamidbar had opened with a month later. So now, Perek Tes, we jumped back a month. So the Gemara says, ein muktam u'me'uchar batorah. You see that you can have stories, events in Chumash, that are out of chronological order. Perek Aleph is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Perek Tes is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Ramban, as we've discussed in the past, understands that that's a limited rule, limited to when the Torah is specific about it, and he opens this piece by explaining the flow of the beginning of Bamidbar. He points out that the overall theme of this fourth Sefer, of the fourth Chumash, the Chumash Bamidbar, is Bamidbar, to Klal Yisrael's journeys in the Midbar, and the mitzvahs l'sha'al that happened that were specific to the Midbar. So he explains based on that, the Torah is sort of a flow from the beginning of Bamidbar all the way through Baal Yisrael, in terms of all of the setup and the completing of the Mishkan that leads you into the Nesim, that leads you into the Dagal, that leads you into the Machanos, that leads you into the counting, that leads you in not in that order. And then we circle back to talk about something that Kadosh Baruch had already told Moshe Rabbeinu a month earlier. That it wasn't as part of the central axis that begins on Rosh Chodesh Iyar of counting Klal Yisrael and getting everything all set up. So you start with that, then we sort of move back to the Nisian, in last week's parasha, were also earlier, Aleph Nisan or Ches Nisan. And then here we are in Baal Osra, moving back to another side piece of the story, which happened earlier, but appears later because it's not essential to the flow of the Sefer, which is Karban Pesach. But then he points out that the truth is, Karban Pesach might fit Sefer Bamidbar exceptionally well. It's not just that Moshe Rabbeinu happened to tell Klal Yisrael about Karban Pesach when they're already in the Midbar, so it has to be put in here, but it may well fit the theme of temporary mitzvahs. Mitzvahs l'shah in the Midbar. How are you talking? Karban Pesach is... Torah tells us in the parasha, chukas olam. Karban Pesach is forever. We haven't practically brought Karban Pesach in almost 2,000 years. Yeah, that's because we haven't had the opportunity. But fundamentally, Karban Pesach is a mitzvah daros. So watch what the Ramban does, starting from the top of Reish Chaf Hei. Al das Rabbo Seinu, lo noga ba Midbar el l'shanu zubuvad, Klal Yisrael brought Karban Pesach in the first year only. They did not bring Karban Pesach throughout the rest of the years in the Midbar. A year earlier, they brought Karban Pesach, what the Mishnayos referred to as Pesach Mitzrayim. They brought Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim on the eve of Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the night of Makas Bechoros. The Mishnayos say there were many differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. Pesach the Mitzvah Doros, you have a Mizbeach. You don't put the blood on the doorpost. Pesach Doros is no din of Bichipazda. There's no din of Melechem Bar Glechem, Masnechem Chagurim, and so on and so forth. The Mishnayos point that many differences, many of the dinim were the same, Pesach Mitzrayim, but there were many unique dinim of Pesach Mitzrayim that were not shared with Pesach Doros. When did Pesach Doros begin? Dalpi Pashas. It begins right here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabosai, there is a din of Karban Pesach, Ledoros, beginning right now. They didn't keep it again until they came into Eretz Yisrael. The only year they broke Karban Pesach in the Midbar was this year. Why? Adash Rabbi Seinu points at the bottom of the Sifrei. The Medrash Halacha here says, Lefish lo malu b'midbar, v'haysam milas zecharim v'avadim akeves b'hem. A comment that the Gemara makes as well. Talmud Bavli also says that they didn't practice, except perhaps for Shevet Levi, they didn't practice Mila in the Midbar because of the concern, the Ruach, they didn't have the Ruach Tzifonis, the winds weren't right, there was a risk because of the climate and the desert, they were worried that there was an increased risk that the children wouldn't heal properly. So because of that concern, they didn't perform Mila after leaving Mitzrayim until they got into Eretz Yisrael. Near the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, there's a description of the mass Mila that Yehoshua oversaw. And the Psukim there say that this was the first major Mila since the eve of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Haisa Mila is the Zecharim Avadim HaKeves Behem. That's an idea that the Gemara develops in Seches Psachim, that not only is the Torah explicit in Parshas Bo, that if a Jew doesn't have a Jewish male doesn't have a Mila, he's not like Karm Pesach, an Orel, Kol Orel Yochal Bo, but even Milas Banav Avadav Ma'akeves. If you have a Jew who's a Mohol, but he has a son who's not a Mohol, he doesn't have a Kenani who's not a Mohol, that's also Ma'akev, the father or the Adon for eating Karm Pesach. So that's what was going on in the Midbar. The first year, we were still in the clear. But beyond that first year, by the time the second year rolled around, there were already so many people who had had children and not given them a Mila, so they stopped bringing Karm Pesach. That's what the Sifrei says. Rabban says, V'yitachin, it could be Derech Pshuto. Shehutzrach l'mitzvah zu, the reason why the Torah needs to give this mitzvah, maybe he means specifically give this mitzvah here, Karm Pesach, Bavur shalom etztavim b'tchila b'asiyas Pesach doros elabarz. If you go back to Parshas Bo, Ramban says, the psukim in Parshas Bo, psukim Parshas Bo tell you you're bringing Karm Pesach forever. It's l'doros eichem, it's a chukas olam. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to tell them here as opposed to next year? But why is he telling them here? So the Ramban says, you know what you have to tell? Why you have to chazer again? You have to bring Karm Pesach. We told you a year ago in Parshas Bo. The answer is he did not tell them a year ago in Parshas Bo. It's true in Parshas Bo, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them both about Pesach Mitzrayim, the unique one-time mitzvah Pesach Mitzrayim, and the mitzvah Doros, Pesach Doros, but the Pesach Doros that was described in Mitzrayim, back in Parshas Bo, was only in Eretz Yisrael. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to have to bring Karm Pesach. And, Pasuk in Tefillin, Kiki v'yachol Eretz HaKenani, etc. V'avodas avodazos b'chorosh hazeh. Then, you get to Eretz Yisrael, you get to Eretz HaKenani, then you're going to have Karm Pesach once again. So Rabban says, if you look at the Pesukim with open eyes, what Moshe Rabbeinu told him a year ago, was you bring Karm Pesach now? And then when you get to Eretz Yisrael, you'll bring Pesach Doros. Here they're betwixt in between. It's neither Pesach Mitzrayim nor Pesach Doros. Rabban says, so you put two and two together. Right now they should be doing what? Not be bringing Karm Pesach. What should they be doing as long as they're in the Midbar? Not be bringing Karm Pesach. Do we bring Karm Pesach in Chutz La'aretz? No. Should they have brought Karm Pesach in Chutz La'aretz? Based on what they heard a year ago, Parshas Bo? No. So Ramban says, you know why you need this Parsha in Baaloscha? Achshav rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tziva sheyasu oso kidei shetiyeh zecher gulasam v'anisim shenasu em lavoseim netak lahem in avos haroim livneim uvneim odar achir. See, this was a separate tzivoy. It sounds like he's accomplishing several things. Number one, he's explaining, giving another explanation to why is it that they didn't bring Karm Pesach again to the Gant Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't just because, there was a problem that the children were Arelim, the babies were Arelim. There was no Chiv to begin with. The Chiv in Parshas Bo was only once you get to Eretz Yisrael. Here, Moshe Ben Mechadesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, sounds like a Horas Shoah, you have to bring Karm Pesach now. Mehecha Tesi, that applied next year. So it explains Ramban's diuk and the Pesukim Bo explain why they didn't continue to bring Karm Pesach and Midbar. It explains why there was any need for this parsha whatsoever, because there was a davar mechudosh. And number three, it explains Ramban l'shitaso, why is this in Chumash Bamidbar? Why is this in Chumash Bamidbar? Bamidbar, as he opened this piece by referring back to what he said at the beginning of the Sefer. But Midbar really is about primarily the Horos Shah of the Midbar, the stories that happen in the Midbar, like the Meraglim and Korach and so on and so forth, and the Mises Aaron, and the mitzvahs, which were not mitzvahs adorned for Horos Shah, like the Golem, like the Chanaya, and so on and so forth. So what's Karmtesav doing here? The answer is this is also Horos Shah. This wasn't the real Din L'Doros of Karm Pesach. It's separate parsha. It's Pesach Doros, Pesach Midbar, and then, Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Midbar, and then there'll be Pesach Doros in Eretz Yisrael. Interesting. But now the question is, it explains a lot of different stuff in Parshas Bo, explains a lot of what's going on here in Parshas Bo, but then why? If fundamentally you need a Pesach at a time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, in advance of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and you need Karm Pesach L'Doros in Eretz Yisrael, and that perhaps relates to the Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Beis in Maseches Pesachim, in the story of the Ahu Arma. The Gemara tells a fascinating story of a non-Jewish imposter who faked his way into Karban Pesach. Yehuda ben Beseira, who lived in Chutz La'aretz in the Tzivan, somewhere probably in the contemporary border between Syria and Turkey, Yehuda ben Beseira, the Tana, figured it out and ensnared this Nachri in a brilliantly strategic way. So one of the many, it's a very rich story, one of the many kashas that we showed him ask is, why wasn't Yehuda ben Beseira? Yehuda ben Beseira sets a trap that the fellow is going to not realize he's self-identifying when he gets back to Eretz Yisrael the next year for Karban Pesach. He dares him, he plays mind games with him. So Tosa says, well, you have to use all the strategy. Yehuda ben Beseira himself is coming for Karban Pesach. You just point out the next year, that fellow, he doesn't deserve to eat Karban Pesach. He's not Jewish. Why do you have to set up a whole system? So there are different answers. Tosfos answers that there's no Karban Pesach if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah Melech wonders where did that come from? Al Pi Pashtus, it's because it's related to the Shabbat. And it's perhaps because Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. In fact, Karban Pesach is a Klal Yisrael dika mitzvah. Shabbat says that's built in Meirosh. There's no Karban Pesach L'Doros except in Eretz Yisrael. So what shot? You understand that there was a significance to Karban Pesach in advance of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's part of the Schus that got them out of Mitzrayim. That Pesach of Dalmila. What do you need Karban Pesach for now? This another temporary dispensation, another Harosha. He says something very profound. Make sure not to miss it. The goal was to keep Masorah alive. That the Avos Haroim, the door that saw the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the door that saw the Makos, that saw Kriyas Yamsuf, needs to give that over. Lubnehem, Lubnehem, Lodar Acher. They need to give over to the next generation. It sounds like the Ramban is saying there's almost like a foreshadowing of the fact that they're going to end up spending a lot of time in the Midbar. If they would have made it to the Midbar the next year, or the next couple of months, there'd be no need to have a way station. 2 years, you had the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, and 2 years later, the Karban Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. It's almost like a foreshadowing. They already had begun the cycle of Chet with the Ego. This is post-Ego. And more is going to happen very soon, beginning the end of Baal Osor, and this Onanim, and one thing leads to another. And as the Rav put it, the triumphant march is derailed, and you end up in a cycle of Chet that leads you into Meraglim. Now they're stuck in the Midbar for 40 years. And ultimately, they're going to need the Roe, the Avos HaRoim are not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. So this was, the Pesach in the Midbar was a connector to keep that sense of Masorah alive, from step to step in the journey. So he says, Hine, Tchila, the beginning, he says, because of all the Eretz, in Parshas Bo, it says we come to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Amit says, who knows Hegez, B'chutz La'aretz, Doros. Parshas Bo, the Din L'Doros is only Eretz Yisrael. L'Doros and no Karban Pesach in Chutz La'aretz. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Tzivash Yinhagu Baba Midbar, this, Parshas Balosva, he's implying, was a Horoa Shah, not a Din L'Doros. And then he says something fascinating. He says, the Gemara says, as he was saying before, Adas Rav was saying, it was only this year. Why? They couldn't do it beyond Noldahem Banim Avadim, Leyachulim Olosam, Menatam Sheskiu, Hailem Sakana. The children, the babies were born, they weren't given their bris milah, as the Kumar Shurfurj B'Yavam. This Kumar Vavis explains that because of the climate, the Ruach Tzifonis, there was an increased risk in terms of the not healing properly from the bris milah. However, the Sifrei says, V'yasus ha-pesa barishon, V'genus Yisrael ha-kasa medaber. It was this is something embarrassing, Sifrei says. Shlo also Pesach Zabavad. We didn't bring Karm Pesach the rest of the years in the Midbar. V'cheinu omer Pesach, Hazvachim in Chai Gashlim, Midbar Bar Mishana, the Navi takes Kalashal to task for not telling the bottom of the Pesach in Amos. Where were you the rest of the 40 years? You didn't bring the Karbanos properly. So Ravan says, the Gemara Yivamas says, they had no choice. What could they do? There was a sakana. There was a sakana. They couldn't mal the children. So that's... So they weren't able to bring carpets. They weren't able to do a meal. So they weren't able to bring carpets Pesach. But the Sifrei says, no, it was embarrassing. And Amos takes us to task. Why didn't you bring carbon? So how do you put these two together? Rabban wants to know. So first he explains that it's merumas in the pasuk. Could just said v'yasuos ha-pesach chosh yitzvah Hashem as Moshe, but instead it says they made it hayom. The dafka that day, dafka in the midbar. The remote the very bottom reish chav hey. So also the midbar rak v'yamazeh. But who ginu son? So what's so embarrassing? What's wrong? We had no choice. It was sakana. So the Ramban seems to say two heirutim. He says, within this approach of Chazal, either number one, Kal Kolasa Binyamar Aglim, Shemimeninis Nadu, we messed up. We sinned at the Chet Maraglim. As a result of that, we got stuck in the Midbar with a terrible weather, Lo Noshvel HaMaroch Tzifonis, and that's why, Lo Ma'olu. And as a result, we couldn't eat Karbanos. A little bit like the Mishnah in Sukkah. It says if it rains on Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, where it's abnormal terrain, so the Mishnah says, "Mashal ma'adavar doma," the servant brings a drink to his master, and the master takes it and tosses it back in the servant's face. I'm not interested in what you're offering me. It's the Tanam say, famous Mishnah in Sukkah, it rains on Sukkot, depends where in Chutzlar. In northeastern United States, it rains throughout the year, so rain on Sukkot is not atypical. Eretz Yisrael, it's very atypical to have rain on Sukkot. Rains on Sukkot means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm not interested in your mitzvah. Are you chai to sit in Sukkot nevertheless? No! There's no kiyam mitzvah. It's not that once it rains, you're putter from Sukkot. But it's a sign that Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't, it's messaging, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is choosing to putter from the mitzvah, I'm not interested in your mitzvah. I don't want your mitzvah, just stay in your house. I'm not chai to sit in Sukkot in that case. But it's a gnus that Kadosh Baruch Hu is messaging us, he's not even interested in giving us the opportunity. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu took away the opportunity for Sukkah is a gnus. So Ramban doesn't reference that, but I would say it's probably similar to what he's saying. Yeah, once we were in the situation, we're stuck in the Midbar for 4 decades, and the Ruach Tzvonis is not blowing, okay, so then at this point, we can't perform Mila because of the concern of Sakana. As a result, we can't eat Karm Pesach. Okay, so we weren't. It's not that we chose to do the wrong thing in terms of Karban Pesach, but we were nizol from the Makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I'm not interested in having you in Eretz Yisrael. For the next 4 years, I'm not interested in Karban Pesach. And that was Kal Kolasa. Or he says, Ramban says, another option is, HaBrais says, Zuki Divri Omer, Ein is Zachar Vavad of Ma'akev Ezbal. It is a machlokes, whether it's only my own Mila, which disallows me from eating Karban Pesach, is it or is it not true to the whole of the Gemara? If a Jew is a mohel, but his children or his avadim are arelim, is that a problem for him to eat Karban Pesach? So if the Braisa, Sifrei, follows the opinion that the children's arelus doesn't hold back the father eating Karban Pesach, so they were takachai. They didn't do a meal in the children, but they had the meal. Why didn't they bring Karban Pesach? Vuhu, genos, gadol. And that's mamash terrible. That means some they were lazy. Hayrashon lasosos, atzlosos. That's terrible. They were mevatel Karban Pesach. of their own will, that's horrific. But he says, Arishan Yoser Nachem Ve'enai. He says, I think the first approach that seems more reasonable. What? Hayam Moshe Machricham Rososo, La Menichem B'chi of Kares. Where's the leadership? Klal Yisrael chose to be lazy on Karm Pesach for 39 years, 38 years, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lift a finger? How are you talking? He says, no, it must be, at this point the die was cast. At this point they were talking Potter, they weren't practicing Mila, they were Potter. But often they, that you're Potter. Why are you Potter? You have an excuse, but why do you have an excuse? You have an excuse because you messed up with the Chet HaEgel. Because you're stuck in the Midbar, not in Eretz Yisrael, stuck in the Midbar without Ruach Tzvonis. So that was terrible. And he says, and that's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. And then he circles back at the end to the core point, which is that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Moshe Rabbeinu review Karban Pesach with the Jewish people at this point, is because this was an added Horah Shah, you're going to bring Karban Pesach in the Midbar. Why? To keep the Masorah alive. He says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu does not chazer, or there's no chazara on Matzah Shiva, there's no chazara on Hashpas HaSchametz, because that's a Chovas HaGuf Nehagas B'chal Makom. That applies in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut also. Now, those didn't apply all over the world. The Torah and Parshas Bo didn't say that those are only Eretz Yisrael. And of course they applied here and now in Chatzaras, they applied then in Chatzaras. But Karban Pesach specifically is what's reviewed in the Haloscha, because based on the Din Ladaris, Karban Pesach should not have applied in the Midbar at all. So it's a very, very rich Parsha. We think of the richness, the Hashkafic richness of the Parsha as specifically the Pesach Sheni piece. And that is. Is one of the greatest examples of spiritual ambition of an individual in Chumash, probably. One of the greatest examples is the Jews who said Lama Nigara, who said, we're not interested in excuses. And it was a firm excuse. Or Tamil Mace, we're not, can't bring Karban Pesach. They were Tamil Mace, as Rashi explains, for the best of reasons. They were involved in some mitzvah and other atzmos Yosei for the Chevra Kadisha. Maybe they were the Chevra Kadisha of Nadav and Avihu. They were doing mitzvahs as a result of which they were tameh. And they opted to say, Lama Nigar, we don't want an excuse. We want opportunity. We want Karban Pesach. We don't want a patur. It's interesting that it's, Avraham Avinu is certainly a man of extraordinary, proactive, ruchnistic ambition. Avraham Avinu is named. Avraham Avinu is one of the avos. Here, it's fascinating, the Jews, Anoshim, the Torah, Dafka doesn't tell us who they were. And it's interesting, in the midst of beginning of Sefer Midbar, we have so many names. You hear about all these names, don't hear about others. This Nasi, that Nasi, Nasanel ben Suar, Gamil ben Pedatsur, Avidan ben Gidoni. We don't know them other than these lists of names. But here, that they are very central people, the Torah Dafka doesn't name them. Perhaps to stress that radical ambition is not just for the Gedolei Hadar. Jews, Anashim. Jews have ambition. Jews seek to be very ambitious. So when you think of the Hashkafic richness of this parsha, the parsha of Karban Pesach in Baal Osra, we tend to think of Pesach Sheni. It certainly is Hashkafically very rich. Rabban is pointing out that the first half of that paragraph, the first half of that sugya, the Pesach Rishon in the Midbar is also incredibly rich. And it speaks to recognizing that your choices matter, which is his nuanced understanding, yes, nuanced understanding of the Sifrei. When the Sifrei says that it was a gunus, that we should be embarrassed that we didn't bring Karban Pesach all the way through. Yeah, ultimately, it was onus bereg achron, so to speak, loosely speaking. At the end of the story, we couldn't because we couldn't bring a milah because of the sakana. But what were we doing in the midbar all these years? And we bore the responsibility as a result of the mistake of ego. Other things happened also. And not only the negatives, but the positives of the journey. And the positives of Klal Yisrael are going to Eretz Yisrael. But they did, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want them to just say, you'll have a Karban Pesach when you get started, And then when you get to Eretz Yisrael, Shana Aleph and Eretz Yisrael, then you'll have Karban Pesach again. No. Shana Aleph was in Chutz La'aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be direct continuity from point to point to point to point. That's true intergenerationally. Ramban is talking about from the Avos Haroim to the Banim or Nochlam Esaretz. That's obviously true for an individual as well. There needs to be a continuity of ambition, a continuity of growth, and continuity of healthy, holy, happy routines of growth in Yerushalayim, and ambition in Yerushalayim, and Avos Hashem. That is absolutely critical. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to learn and grow for a year or two here and there. Kadosh Baruch Hu, as many Emirat Hashem healthy years and decades that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us on this world, are supposed to be a whole mosaic of ongoing dynamic growth. And that's part of what's being captured. You should realize that your choices make short-term choices can make long-term impacts. Lignus and l'shavach. And maintaining focus and maintaining momentum, maintaining energy, maintaining ambition is the name of the game. These are some of the many, many ideas that flow from Parshas Bahalos.